You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Well, I mean, you don't have to listen to what I have to say. You listen to those kids and I'm pretty sure you understand the meaning of Christmas, right? I mean, how great is it to have children in our church with a passion to want to know Jesus, to know that Christmas is not about the Christmas tree. It's not about the gifts. It's about a God who came down for us, who gave up his life for us. So if you don't remember what I say later on, if you don't take home what I'm saying, just remember the video, because that's all you need to remember. My name is Bin, and I'm the pastor of Sun Life Church. I want to say Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this Christmas day with us. And if you are new here, we want you to know that we love you and you're welcomed here. We have a Christmas lunch afterwards. If you are free, please stay back and have Christmas lunch with us. It's on us. It's for us to say, hey, thank you so much for taking time out to spend Christmas with us. Let me ask you this question. Hypothetically, if you were given presents, if you were given, say, all these presents here, beautiful presents, wrapped up, and I said to you, you had to decide what to keep and what not to keep. So I'm going to ask Timothy to come on stage here. Timothy doesn't know this. But Tim, if you were given this on Christmas Day, and if I'm your father and I say, hey son, this is all yours, it's got your name on it, but you can only keep three items. Three. You can't open it. You can keep three. How would you decide, and you can ask me questions, how would you decide what to keep and what not to keep? Go, Tim. Loud voice.
I'd probably check the weight.
Okay.
Maybe. This one's not so heavy.
Okay.
I'd look at the shape.
The shape?
Yeah, the shape. Make sure that the shape is something that I would be thinking about would be in that sort of box.
Okay.
Probably I'd look for the nicest wrapping paper.
Okay, so Timothy would say, well, my criteria would be the weight, because he is assuming the heavier it is, because it could be a brick, right? Wrapped in paper, right? But the weight would be an indication that it's worth something. Gold, maybe? Okay. You're looking at the shape.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying the bigger the box, the greater it is. You can tell that he's got a greed problem here, right? All right, so we've got to pray for this man. And then the last one is, you look for perfection, the way it's wrapped. Oh, thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. Very good, Timothy. In my household, my children know that every year, and I've told you before, that whatever they receive on Christmas Day, they can only keep half. That's just how it rolls at the Newton household. If you're given 10 presents, you're keeping five, and five we're giving away. If you're giving my kids gifts, you better make sure your gifts are good, because they're not going to keep it, right? And they've got little thinkings in their minds, you know, what are the criterias? And every single one of us, we also have certain criterias. This keep, this to give. Let me show you some pictures on the screen. I want you to look at these pictures and I'll ask you some questions. Here's the first one. On my left, you know that's Manhattan, New York City. On my right, that's a quokka, Rottnest Island. So if I said to you, if I was Santa, if Santa was real, you can either have a free ticket to Manhattan, New York City, or you can have a free ticket ferry ride to Rottnest. Think about that. Now, I'm going to ask you, for those, if you have both hands raised up, who would go to Manhattan? Go! Okay, good. Hands down. Who would go to Rottnest? Liars. Okay. Wow! I can't believe there's some of you who would go to Rottnest. Okay, here's the next one. Okay, there it is. Someone gives you this really ugly, woolly Christmas sweater to the left and a nice pair of runners. Think about that. Okay, hands up, both hands, if you're going for the sweater. Good. You see that? Okay. Maybe to cover the extra weight, maybe. Who's going to go for the sneakers? Oh, the fit people. Fit people. I still think there's some lies in there as well. All right. Here's the third picture. Look at this here. Okay. Okay, we got. This is hard. You've got the Thermomix on the one side. This is where you start to cook your cake and do what you want to do. Because it's Christmas. And then you've got free gym membership. Oh, for a whole year. You can't have both. You can't go Thermomix, eat fatty food, then go to gym. You can't do that. It's one or the other. Okay, think about it. Think about your criterias. Both hands if you're going for the Thermomix. Ooh. Okay. Both hands if you're going for the gym. Oh, it's an even split. Now, I don't know what you're thinking of. I don't know the criteria in your minds why you decide this over the other. Why would you go to Rottnest over New York City? I don't know, but God help you, right? But we all have reasons, is that right? It's like my children. They opened their presents this morning. It was pretty chaotic this morning. And what they do is they line up all their presents. This year was slightly different. They had two columns. So for example, Cameron had the columns I'm keeping and the column I'm not going to keep. And I said to my kids, it's got to be equal. You can't go, I'm keeping more and I'm giving less. It has to be a 50-50 split. And one of the kids were quite smart. Dad, if we had an odd number, if we had 7, do we keep 4 or do we keep 3? God's grace in me said, yes, you can keep 4, but 3 you have to give away. So they open the presents and it's like, wow, the Nintendo Switch controllers. Yeah, we're keeping that. Someone gave them socks. No. This is true. Wow, the NBA uniform. Oh, we're keeping that. We love the Golden State Warriors. We're keeping that. Another book? No. And they're deciding. And it got me thinking. Young kids are thinking. They've got criteria. This is important to me. This is a great gift. This is not a great gift. And that's the same with you and I. As adults, we have certain things that we tick off and we say, wow, that's great. That's not great. I want to convince you that the greatest gift of them all came from God. I want to convince you that there are three questions that you have to answer that God ultimately gave you the greatest gift. Three questions. Here's the first question here. Who gave the gift? Second question, who received the gift? Third question, what was the cost of the gift? And in the text that we're going to look at this morning, we see the answer to those three questions. Who gave? Who received? And the cost. If you have your Bible with you, if you don't, the passage is on the screen behind me. We'll look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Let me read the Word of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, no, but that He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let me pray and I'll answer those three questions for you. Who gave? Who received? How much? Father God, I pray now that You would help me to expound Your Word. Help me to bring clarity to what You want to say to us. Lord, I pray for those who may not know that greatest gift, that they would begin to understand it this morning. I pray for those who may not know You, that You would draw them closer to You. Will You help me? Will You strengthen me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My first question is, who gave? Isn't it true that depending on who gave you the gift, it may be very important to you or mean nothing to you? You think about that. I have a picture on the screen of me when I was a young boy here. You can see me right there. I'm the one standing. The one in the middle is my little sister. This was a photo taken back in 1981. We were refugees. Most of you would know that I'm from Vietnam. We were refugees and we came here, and my father would tell us that one of the very first few things that he did was, after saving a bit of the money, he bought some blankets and some warm clothes. Because we came here in March 1981. And March, you know, is coming towards the end of summer. And there were talks that winter in Perth, in Australia, is extremely cold. So you can imagine these refugees just trying to, you know, keep themselves warm. So mum and dad bought us some warm clothes, and that's me there. You can tell, very hip, very, very suited to the city of Leaderville there, with one hand on the waist, the other leg to the side. And there's a beanie that my mum gave me. That beanie there, she wanted to give to me to keep my head warm. And this beanie here, I still have. Right here. Nearly 40 years later, I still have this beanie. Why do I hold it to that? Well, I hold it to that because, first of all, my mum gave it to me. She gave it to me purely out of love. She gave it to her son because she wanted her son to be kept warm. I hold it to this beanie because it reminds me of my mother, my late mother. A mother who loves me so much, who sacrificed so much so that I could have this wonderful opportunity to live in this great city, this great country of ours, Australia. I hold onto the beanie to remind me that we were refugees, that we came here with nothing, and only by the grace of God we get to live here. I would never, ever lose this beanie because the person who gave it to me meant so much to me. Isn't it true that depending on who gave you the gift, the gift will either remain in the I'm going to keep it column, or it may still be in the I'm going to give it away column. But surely if someone gave you something out of love, you want to consider it. You want to go, well, maybe I should hold onto that gift. I won't unwrap it yet, but I'll hold on to it because that person gave it out of love. Because we know that when we give things to people, sometimes they're not out of love. And sometimes it's out of obligation, is that right? Oh, you invited me to your birthday party. I can't just show up with no gift. I better bring a gift along. I better give you something out of obligation. Or last week you took me out to a nice fancy restaurant. This week when we go out again, I better pay because it's out of obligation. But sometimes we give out of guilt. That poor kid that knocks at the front door, you know, asking for some money for the blind association, or would you give us some money here? You give the $2 or the $5 out of guilt because you feel sorry for that kid. Or sometimes you give out of anger. Oh yeah, I give you this. I give you this silent treatment because this is how I feel about you. So there are many reasons why we give. But let me say, when a gift is given out of love, wow, you want to consider it. You want to maybe go, well, I'll keep that. I may not open it yet, but I'll consider it because the motive is out of love. That person gave me something out of love. If I told you that the greatest gift is a gift that God gave, not your parents, not your pastor, not your employer, but God Himself, the God of all gods, the Creator God, the Almighty God, the God who created the universe. If He gave you something, surely you want to hold on to it. You may not open it, but you want to hold on to it because God gave it to you. I grew up watching basketball. I love basketball growing up as a kid. I'm wearing some basketball boots right now. I love it. I remember I used to follow the Perth Wildcats, and I remember as a little boy having this little James Crawford basketball card. A lot of you may not know James Crawford, but he was the Alabama Slammer. He was my idol. I love this man. He wore number 7. I would go around wearing number 7. And I remember one day I had his card, and I went and he was signing his signature in the city. I went there with my card and I said, James, can you just sign the card and can you write my name? And he did it and I kept it because he gave it to me. Would I ever lose that card? I did lose the card. I did. But for that period of time, I kept it because you know why? It meant something. That person, the giver, meant something to me. It was so important that I hold to it. That's the same. If God gave you something, surely you should consider it. For some of you, you may not know God, but I'm telling you that God is offering you something. Hold on to it. You may not unwrap it, but consider it. But look what the text say. Look in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You notice how God is love, not love is God? A lot of times we think that love is God. In other words, we read a nice novel and it makes us feel good about ourselves. Oh, that must be God. Something good happens to us. We win lotto, whatever. Oh, that must be God. We fall in love. Oh, that must be God behind it. And so we tend to equate love is God. The text says, no, God is love. Very important for us to understand that if God is love, if everything comes from God is love, even the things that I struggle to comprehend, the moments in life where it's so dark and so difficult, where I question, God, how come I'm experiencing this? How come there's suffering? How come life is so hurtful? Let me remind you that if you believe in a God who is love, God is still love. That everything that comes your way, the good, the bad, the ugly of life, God is still love. Therefore, as a believer, you can say, you know what? I'm going to keep trusting that God is love. I may not understand the situation. I may not like the situation, but I'm going to press forward. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep coming to church. You know why? Because God is love. Therefore, I'm going to keep doing that. And if we know that God is love, and if everything God does out of love, and when God gives, God must give out of love. Is that right? God can't give out of hatred. I hear a lot of people say, well, God doesn't like me, so he sent that lightning bolt to me. And one of my friends just sent me an email, a very horrible email. He's in the East Coast. He goes, Ben, check this out. Someone in my church heard from God that I'm going to die next week. He's a pastor of the church. And God is not happy with you, buddy, and God's going to kill you next week. This is a friend of mine who's a pastor in a church where he received an email from someone in his church like that. If you ever send me an email like that, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Because I don't want to receive that email. Just save it in the inbox and then delete it, please. There are certain people who has this thinking that God is out to get them. God sends diseases to destroy them because God does things out of hatred, anger, bitterness, jealousy. The text says that God is love. And if God is love, he's going to do things out of love. If he gives you, he's going to give out of love. So whatever he's giving you, wow, it's not out of anger. Oh, if I open this present, oh no, my life is going to be upside down. Oh no, it's not going to be good. No. If God gives you something, it's out of love. I better at least hold onto it. I may not open it yet, but I'm going to hold onto it. Because God gave. That's why Jesus would say in Matthew 7, he says this to the earthly fathers, you who are evil, you know how to give good gifts. In other words, earthly fathers, you're not the best, but you can give good gifts. How much more will your Father, that's your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask? See what Jesus is saying? He's saying, dads, you know how to love your kids. You know how to give good things to your kids. Even though you're not perfect, you still know how to give things, right? But there's a Father in heaven, wow, you can never measure up and compare to how good he is and what he's got to offer. For those who do not know that God has given you a great gift, I want you to consider it, because the giver is God himself. God gave. He gave out of love. He will give you something far greater than any earthly father can give you. So at least consider it. That's question one answered. Who gave? God. Out of love. Amen? Here's question two. Who received? In the text, you notice, very obviously, if you look carefully in verse 9 and 10, he says this. God sent his one and only Son into the world. The world. He gave the gift to you and I. There's another passage in the Bible, John 3:16. You should all know this one. For God so loved, not just love, so loved. As an abundant love, an overflowing love. Love the world that he gave his Son. The world means you and I. Humanity. But listen carefully. Humanity at its worst. This is very important for us to understand this. When we think of God's gift to us, God did not wait for us to be good before he gave us the gift. You know, it's much easier for us to give people something when they are nice to us. Is that right? If you are friendly to me, if you don't send me those death emails, if you send me nice emails, I will give you something. I will give you my love, my time, a Christmas card, because it's very easy to give people gifts when they are nice and when they're good and when they're kind. That's why there's a song about Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sakes. Is that right? You better watch out. You better not cry. Is that right? In other words, Santa, he's going to give you based on how good you are. And parents, we like to do that with our kids. We kind of threaten our kids. Oh, you're not good? No dinner. Is that right? Oh, you're not good? I'm taking half the presents away. I'm going to put on eBay or Gumtree and sell it. Is that right? It's very conditional. If you're good, all right. If you're good, a bit of iPad time. If you're very, very good, if you score straight A's, that's right, you get some ice creams, right? You understand? Our love is very conditional. My 2-year-old daughter, you all know, Matilda Rose, I love her very, very much. Just recently, she's been watching her brothers play basketball, and she wants to play basketball. I could see the basketball genes in her, like her father. So I said to her, look, Tilly, okay, you want to be the next Michael Matilda? Sure, we can do that. Let's play basketball with the boys. Start at the age of 2. And you know Matilda, she's talking back now. Very sweet. Not. She's quite strong-willed. Like her father. So I get the sports shoes on, the sports sneakers. They're pink. And I say, okay, Tilly, right shoe, left shoe. Come on, let's go. Mouth guard, not yet, but soon. Let's go. And she starts going, no. No, Daddy. I want pink sports shoes, pink slippers. I said, darling, it doesn't work like that. We're playing basketball. Are we doing ballet? We're doing dancing? Or we're doing basketball? We don't do both. We do one or the other. I grab the slippers. I say, no. I'm putting the other shoes on. 2 sports shoes, period. She starts screaming, tantrum, starts speaking to me in tongues or something. I don't know what she's doing. It's getting quite heated here. She insisted. She refused to listen to her father's advice. She was stubborn. She said, no, I want this shoe here, sports, this shoe here, slippers. And I said, you know what? You want that? I'm thinking about Romans chapter 1. You know when Paul says, give them over to the sinfulness of their desires, right? I'll give you over to your stubbornness. You want it? Go for it, young lady. Put both shoes on. Let her play. And you know what happened next, right? Yeah, we all know. She's falling. She's falling and she's slipping and she's crying. And you know what happens next? She runs back to me. And you know what happens next? Nothing from me. No sympathy. No compassion. I tell you right now, my daughter at that point in time, this is true. If that point in time my daughter said, Daddy, I want something to drink. I want something to eat. I would say, no. There was this rage in me, like, you don't mess with your daddy. Because if your daddy says, both shoes, sports, it is both shoes, sports. Don't you dare tell me you want slippers and sports. But if you want that, I will give you over to the desires of your heart. I'll give you over, like Romans chapter 1. We studied it this year. Go for it. You know, it's so true that when someone is rebellious, stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, we don't want to give them anything. Is that right? Let's be honest. Someone mistreats you. Someone is not nice to you. Someone gossips about you and they're making up stories about you. You don't want to give them anything. You don't want to give them your time. I know I wouldn't. But you think I'm a perfect man? I'm not a perfect man. I've said 1,000 times, don't look at me as the perfect Christian. I'm not. Look at Jesus. That's the reality, right? But in the text, when John is referring to the world, he's not referring to numerical as in numbers of people. It is true that God can love all the people on the face of the planet, but God is actually referring to the ethical, in other words, the immoral. He's talking about here, the world here, are people who you and I need to understand rejected God. And people who were the unethical, the sinful, the immoral, the disgraceful, the shameful, the people who are wicked, the people who hated God, the people who did not want God to be their king, God to be their Lord. These people didn't want anything to do with God. They were enemies of God. Can you imagine that? They hated God, but yet God would still give them the gift. You and I need to understand, we received the gift of God not when we were good. Not when we were nice. Not when you're kind. No. God gave us something when we were so far from God. If you think that Christianity is about you, I don't know, being good and being right and being kind and being noble, and then God gives you, that's not Christianity. Christianity is this: you were never good. You were never kind. There was nothing good about you, nothing good about me. We were wicked. We were stubborn. We were so far from God. We hated God. We were enemies of God, but yet God would still give. That's the gospel. And that's the state of the recipients, you and I. God gave us this great gift to an undeserving, unloving world. God gave a gift that you and I needed the most when we deserved it the least. That's the recipient, you and I. Question two answered. Question one was what? Who gave? God, out of love. Question two, who received? You and I. But when we what? Undeserving. Question three, how much? How much? Isn't it true that when you give someone a gift, if it costs you something, if it hurts you, if it means something to you, it should mean something to them? Timothy, earlier on, he didn't know that I asked him to come on stage. He was looking for something that was what? Big? Is that right? Something that was what? Heavy. Was that right? Because he wanted something which was what? Costly. Is that right? That's the heart of it. I mean, let's say for Christmas, someone gave you, I don't know, 2 free movie tickets. That's pretty worth what? $40? And maybe a free ticket to Bali return? Which one would you take? For those who went to Rottnest, you probably picked the tickets. Yeah, I understand you're the good people here. But most of us will probably pick the trip to Bali return. Is that right? We will pick something that's worth more. And that's the honest truth. I went to America 3 years ago and I thought I'd do something really, really brave. Really brave. I said to my wife, Tran, at that time, I'm going to buy you a bag. A bag. Now, fellas, I don't want to encourage you to do this. You've got to have the guts, like me, to buy your wife a bag. So I said to Tran, I'm going to buy you a leather bag. She goes, okay. And I made sure it was leather. We're talking like not Chinese 100% copy leather. We're talking real Italian leather, like really good leather. So I looked around. I always asked them, hey, is this leather? Let me smell it. Let me try to burn it. Let me do all the leather tests. Yep, it's leather. Good. The second thing I said to myself, it has to be plain. It can't be multicolored. It's not good for her. She likes something simple, whether it's just a nice beige or a nice black. Just keep it simple, Ben. Nothing too over the top. Make sure it's leather. Make sure it's plain. Ladies, am I on track? Am I good? Yeah? Do I get an amen? No? Okay, fair enough. Just listen anyway. Right? Then the next thing was I made sure there was a brand, a well-known brand. Oh, yeah. Really good brand. Louis Vuitton. Didn't go for that one. I'm a pastor, remember? Gucci. Nah. Prada. Nah. But you get the point, right? Make sure it's a good brand and make sure the spelling's correct, right? Not DKYN, DKNY, right? To make sure the spelling is correct, yeah? So I went through all this criteria. And then, this is the hardest part. It was time to pay for it. And I made sure that this was coming through my veins and my body, that as I pulled out the credit card to pay for it, there was a bit of a Holy Spirit moment where I was shaking. Do I really want to pay for this? It's going to cost me a fair bit. Take it! Take it! Because I knew that if it cost me something, I knew that if it cost me my back pocket, that it's expensive, if it meant something to me, surely it will mean something to her. That is so true, that when you give someone a gift that means the world to you, that costs you something, it's going to mean something to the recipient. There's a wonderful story of an old widow in the New Testament. She's poor, she's got 2 copper coins, and at the treasury, she begins to put all that she had into the treasury. And Jesus looks from afar and tells the disciple, you see that lady there, that widow who gave 2 coins? She gave the most. You know why? Because it cost her the most. The same principle applies. When we give someone, or when we give to the Lord, if it doesn't cost us, if it doesn't matter to us, it's not going to matter to God. It's the same. And let me say this to you here. The text would say that when God gave you and I that great gift, look carefully, in verses 9 and 10, He sent His one and only Son. He gave His one and only Son for you and I. Look in verse 10. He sent His Son. He gave up His Son. That is a huge gift. Would you ever give up your son for anyone? Would you ever be like Abraham and Isaac and offered up your son with a dagger ready to destroy your son? And you see in Genesis, as Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, the angel stopped him. But you see the same thing replayed in the New Testament. But this time, no one stopped the destruction of the son. This time, the father walked away and allowed the son to be given up so that in his death, you and I may live. Will you give up your son for anyone? You know, before I planted Sun Life Church, I was working in the Anglican Church. And at that time, Tran was pregnant with our first child, Oliver. We knew he was a boy. I was so excited to be a father. And a retired bishop said to me, "Hey, Ben, welcome to the family. Can't wait to do work with you. Do you have any children?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, not really. Technically, maybe next month we'll be. I'll be a father soon." And he kind of smiled. He said, "That's good." And then he said something that I'll never forget to the day I die. He goes, "Ben, when you have your son, your little boy, you would truly understand how much God loves you. That He gave up His one and only son for you. Not when you were good, but when you were bad. Not when you had a little halo on your head, when you had a pitchfork and a pointed tail. Not when you were a saint, but when you're a sinner. You truly understand the extent of God's love for you when He gave up His Son for you. Because you would never give up Oliver for anyone. Would you give up your son for anyone? No. And even if someone was really, really nice to you, really, really kind, righteous, would you give up your only child for the person? No. Now imagine the person, they weren't nice, they were evil. They were wicked. They were stubborn. Like my little daughter who wanted to wear two different shoes. Would you offer up your son for someone who's like that? The answer is absolutely no. But yet God gave up His Son for you and I. That's a huge cost. That's how much you're loved. If you feel that you're not loved by God, if you feel that you're unworthy, if you feel that there's no love towards you, can you just slow down and remind yourself that God gave up His Son for you, for me? That is a sacrificial giving that God gave for us. Christmas, listen carefully, is not about the tree. It's not about the meals we're going to eat. It's not about coming to the service. And I know that a lot of you come here because it's Christmas, and I thank God that you're here. It's not about the holidays that we're going to take soon. It's not about the Boxing Day sale tomorrow. It's not about the cricket that's going to happen tomorrow. Christmas is about God who gave up His Son. He gave up His one and only Son so that in His death we may live. He lived that perfect life that we could not live. He died that horrific death that we ought to die so that we may be able to live with Him forevermore. That's the meaning of Christmas. That first Christmas, 2,000 years ago, God gave that gift, the gift of love, the greatest gift of them all. It came from Him out of love. It came to you when you were undeserving. It cost Him His Son. That's a huge gift. Maybe for some of you this morning, you've realized it's a great gift and you're holding on to it. You've realized that, wow, I can't believe it. God gave me that gift when I don't even deserve it. Did God really do that for me? Yes, He did. And it really cost God His Son. Well, maybe for some of you, it's time to open up the gift, to receive the gift, to say, this is something I want to take. I want to take this gift this morning. I want to know that I'm loved by God. I know there's some of you here this morning that you've been coming here for weeks and months and you hear me preach week in and week out of God's love for you. He does love you a lot. And maybe for some of you, you're thinking, well, I've got to make sure I do my time. I've got to make sure I'm good before God gives me the gift. No, the Bible clearly says God did not wait for you to be good. God didn't wait for you to be kind. God didn't wait for you to be innocent before He gave. He gave it to you when you're in the worst position ever. When you're so far from God, God gave that to you. And all He wants you to do is receive and take it. and know that forevermore that you're loved by Him. That's the meaning of Christmas. At the very beginning of the New Testament, if you know your Bible, at the very beginning of the New Testament, the first book is the book of Matthew. There's a wonderful account where the angel of the Lord appeared before Joseph in Matthew 1. And the angel said this to Joseph, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because Jesus, he will save his people from their sin." You see that? First Christmas, recorded in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, in the very first chapter, you will give his name Jesus. And what is he going to do? He's going to save people from their sins. That's it. That's Christmas. That's the gospel. He didn't come to make us feel good. He didn't come to give us an opportunity to have a holiday. No, he came to save us from our sin, because we were dying in our sin that we cannot save ourselves. He came to offer us the solution of sin. That's Christmas. And that gift came from him to people like you and I that cost God his son. Will you take that gift? For those who love Jesus, who've received the gift, you've opened the gift. You know what? This gift here, it's, I don't know what this is. Speakers. Microphone. Very good. I'll get some singing lessons. This gift here, the gospel, is not for you to hold on to. If you think, I'm talking to the Christians here, if you think that the gospel is all about you, it ends with you, that's not the gospel. The gospel ends with God. Therefore, if you receive the gift, you've opened the gift, it's yours and you're a Christian, you make sure that this gift here is given to someone else. The gospel points back to God. If you are not a Christian, I want to encourage you to open the gift. And now I give you an opportunity to receive that gift. So with all eyes closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the gift this Christmas.